In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us for another Word for Life broadcast. My name is Ken Keltner, pastor at Brookside, and I'm accompanied today by Pastor Mark Widmer. And
Good morning,
Mark. We're sure glad you and Naomi are at Brookside, and looking forward to what God's going to continue to do in and through your life. We're in Judges chapter 1, and our theme has been hearts of stone and feet of clay. And they just seem to keep failing as they move through. It is one of the most depraved books in all the Bible. I mean, several chapters, especially towards the end, it's just hard to even read.
Neither one of those is very complimentary, is it?
No, it's
not. The
heart
or the feet, yeah.
No, it's not. And because of this compromise, they just continue to fail. We'll get to that in just a moment, but Pastor Mark, why don't you just share a little bit of what's happening at Brookside, and listen, if you don't have a church home, love for you to come. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves with believers. If you can't get out, you can watch us online, and I hope that if you're in a local church that your pastor can count on you to be there and you'd be supportive and a great servant to the ministry where you belong.
Yeah. Well, next Wednesday, the 24th of May, we are beginning our summer season of Wednesday evening Bible studies, and so that in itself makes it pretty special. But a couple other factors, we do these outdoors, and we have a cookout every evening, Wednesday evening at 5:30, followed by a Bible study together. And it is just a great environment, a great time for our church family and visitors as well to come and spend evenings together outdoors in the warm weather, just studying God's Word.
Yeah, and over the last few years, we've had good weather on Wednesday nights, so we're thankful for that.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor Mark, why don't you start off by reading verses 1 and 2 of Judges chapter 1, and you're going to see here a very good start. Joshua's just passed away, but he's given him a great message to put away those gods and serve the Lord and see that he's God, because he said, for as me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, the book starts now after the death of Joshua. It came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand.
So you see right away their request as to, you know, in the direction of their own heart, they're asking God.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeking guidance from God, and they recognize God as their commander in chief. Now Joshua's dead. Who's going to go up for us? And again, it's not how you start; it's how you finish.
Mm-hmm.
And God's guidance and assurance right here is in contrast to God's accusation and his threats in chapter 2 and verses 1-5. And we'll get there in a few broadcasts. But verse 2. They receive his direction. Judah is directed to take the lead. I mean, this has been God's promise from the very beginning with Joshua. God will take care of the nations of Canaan. Israel is simply just to be faithful to follow God. And so the motivation for the Israelites for driving out the Canaanites was not pragmatic. It was spiritual. If you don't, They're going to become a spiritual cancer in your life. They're going to lead you away from me. I mean, God had warned Moses, do not let those people live in your country. If you do, they will make you sin against me. That's why my dad was always concerned about who my friends are.
Mm-hmm.
You think of the greatest influencers in your life are going to be your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to choose good friends. I know you were in education for many years. You probably saw kids seek the wrong kind of friend.
Pretty quickly, yeah.
It's amazing how quick that happens.
Yep.
And it leads them right down a path to, many times their parents are probably saying, I don't know what got into my son or daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's who they were running with. So don't get your focus on the enemy necessarily and how big they are. God wants them to keep their focus on obeying and trusting him. And the remaining Canaanites would not be as much of a military threat as they would be a spiritual cancer. That's why Israel was to eliminate them. It was what they're going to do to just push them in this downward cycle spiritually. As Dale Davis, an author and commentator, put it, Israel was to wreck and demolish all of the Canaanite worship centers, every Saint Baal on the Hill Shrine, and Our Lady of Harvest Chapel. It was to be done gradually, but it was to be done. If Canaan's people were tolerated, it would lead Israel willy-nilly to intermarriage, and then you could kiss a covenant of faith with God goodbye. It would be like a surgeon only removing part of the cancer because, after all, hey, cancer has a right to grow and find fulfillment. So the Israelites began well. They were seeking God's direction. They wanted to know his thoughts about where they need to turn. And Joshua's last exhortation to them was to obey God's word and serve him. Now, beginning in Judges, the people come with a unified voice asking which tribe should take the lead in the fight. Someone said it well. It is tragic and ironic that the book that began with unity ended with civil war back in chapters 19 to 21.
Mm-hmm.
And so, friends, you're going to be remembered not how you began, but how you finished.
Mm-hmm.
So now we start to see this partial obedience to rear its ugly head. They're going to go down this wrong way street. And the first thing that happens in verse 3 is they have a merger with Simeon. Why don't you read verse 3 for us?
Yeah, so Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory.
It sounds really good, doesn't it, Pastor Martin?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's just go into this together. I mean, Judah accepts the leadership, but not totally. He invites Simeon to come along. The problem is God did not say when he was asked, Judah and Simeon will go before you. He said Judah. It's one thing to use human resources, but quite another to actually rely on them. I mean, this is an attitude that I think can really be inferred from the context. Judah's alliance with Simeon was natural for several reasons. Judah and Simeon were full brothers, sons of Jacob and his first wife, Leah. The inheritance of Simeon was located within the boundaries of Judah. We find that in Joshua 19. Simeon was the smallest of all the available fighting men in Israel. In Numbers 25, it talks about this plague that broke out in Israel when Zimri, a Simeon, committed sexual sin with a Midianite woman. And because of that, 24,000 people died, and Simeon's potential fighting force was absolutely cut in half. So Simeon virtually ceased to exist as a distinguishable tribe by Judges chapter 5. And so the application is God receives the most glory when the victories he provides are not able to be explained in human terms, but beyond what man could have ever done. Judah, in hindsight, right here, needs to take the lead, be the example, because with God, all things are possible.
You know, what's interesting to me is that's a subtle little distinction that earlier today when I read this chapter, I just kind of read right past that. And then just before we got into it, looking at it again, I was going to ask and bring up, hey, do you think this is the beginning of a compromise, a lack of faith on their part, whatever was their rationale? Because as you pointed out, it's not what God said.
Yeah. 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 I mean, Pastor Margie, it gets us in trouble every time we try to lean to our own understanding, that we're going to be wise in our own eyes. I mean, Proverbs 3 talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, I'm supposed to trust him and he'll direct my steps.
Mm-hmm.
We have time, maybe. Let's look at verse 4 and see what happened here in regard to the Canaanites.
Then Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they killed 10,000 men at Bezek.
10,000. So it's still starting off right, even though there's been a little slight compromise here. And so the questions raised about the so-called moral problem of this conquest. I mean, many are quick to talk about how horrid of God to use Israel to butcher these innocent Canaanites. Again, Dale Davis says, and I quote, if the Canaanites only knew how much emotional support they would have received from the Western readers, they would have been encouraged. The Canaanites, my friend, were not innocent. Moses was emphatic about this in Deuteronomy chapter 9. He writes, do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. No, it wasn't because of Israel's righteousness. But get this. Here's what God says. It's because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It's not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you. I mean, if you think ahead, Habakkuk even had issues with God using ungodly nations to bring Israel down. I mean, you sin, you got to pay the consequences of your sin. And the Canaanites for years have been just evil, wicked people. And God wants to cut it out. And let me say, if you want all the gory details of how wicked these people were, you can look back at Leviticus 18 and Deuteronomy 18. It was an act of justice on the part of God. He was cleaning house as far as wickedness was concerned. And Israel was the instrument of his just judgment on a corrupt and a perverted people. Just like God used some nations as an instrument to bring judgment on his own people for their sin. So the Bible insists that this was just. Not pretty. Wasn't pretty. It was just. One writer said, and I quote, I would say that the anyone today who gorges themselves on all kinds of violence on television and movies have forfeited any right to throw the first stone at the biblical conquest of the Canaanites. End of quote. Well, then we get into the disfigurement of a king. Adonai Bezek, which is probably intended as the title of a governor or mayor of the city, he was captured. He was mutilated, and then there was death. There's a note of concern here. Instead of taking his life on the spot, which they were to do, they took him to Jerusalem. Some Canaanite ethic here. Concerning how they were to treat their captives. The emotional editorial comment made here is given by the victim himself. He says, God has paid me back for similar mutilation of 70 kings who picked up scraps under my table. Adonai Bezek understood that God was paying him back cruelly for his cruelty. You know, what you sow, the Bible says, you'll also reap. God had told him to put the inhabitants of the land to death, not to torture them. And you see, once again, a little digression from what God said. And friends, that can happen to any of us. We want to digress in our own understanding and our own wisdom, and we get away from God and what he teaches. Well, join us again as we pick up our study later on here in the book of Judges. Thank you for joining us today.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.